Please pray with me. Oh God, we thank you for flowers blooming, birds singing, for the wonderful music we've enjoyed and participated in, for the reading of the scriptures, for all the gifts that you give us. And God, we pray that we may continue to use all of these wonderful gifts for the building up of the kingdom of God. Amen. Tabitha, what a woman. Her name in Greek, Dorcas. Her name in English, Gazelle. Would that be a wonderful name for a person? To leap as a gazelle and have the energy and life to leap over all hurdles and boundaries of life to bring blessing and gladness to everyone. Well, there's probably a lot we love about this church. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. But this church isn't perfect, is it? Because it's made up of imperfect people. Do you remember the old bumper sticker, "I'm not perfect, just forgiven"? In fact, however, there has never been a perfect church. From the beginning, Christian churches have been marked by disagreements, divisions, conflicts, and controversy as imperfect people struggle to live in community with one another. One of the earliest conflicts of the Christian church was who was following whom. People were in rivalry with one another, claiming that their leader was best. I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. Well, I follow Peter. It's pretty clear to biblical scholars that one of the main reasons the book of Acts was written was to address the vicious rivalry and competition in the church and to create in the book of Acts a unifying story where both Peter and Paul are lifted up as capable and qualified leaders in the church. One was not better than the other. And those who followed one were not better than those who followed another. With a very careful reading of the book of Acts, one might identify over 30 parallels between Peter and Paul, once again lifting up both of them as qualified, capable leaders in the church. For example, both men raised the dead. Peter raises Tabitha in Acts chapter 9, and Paul raises Eutychus in chapter 20. So my point here is that Acts is not primarily a chronology of events to be understood as historically and literally true, but as a plea to the church to rise above their pettiness and their rivalries and their competition about who follows whom, and to live in unity with one another. So why is the story of the raising of Tabitha included in Acts? I'd love for you to answer my question before I give you the answer. Are you thinking in your mind? Why was the story of Tabitha included in the book of Acts? Well, for a variety of reasons, but one main reason is to demonstrate that Peter is as qualified and capable as Paul to lead in the church. Well, there's another reason I believe the story is included in Acts. And that's to illustrate how the sharing of gifts and freeing others to share their gifts is at the heart of who Jesus is. So as the story that Meg just read goes, Peter gets a text message from Joppa. Come help us! He gets up, he goes to Joppa, he assesses the situation and shares the gift that he's been given in order to free Tabitha to use the gift she had been given. So if we hold up these two main characters of the story side by side, here's Peter, the apostle, offering his gifts to the church, preaching the good news of God's love, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. And here on the other side is Tabitha, a seamstress, full of good works and charity, making beautiful garments for lots of people, including the poor. Well, which of the two was more important in the life of the early church, Peter or Tabitha? Both were equally important. As this story goes, the work of an apostle is paralleled with the work of a seamstress. There aren't any nobodies in Christ's church. Everyone has an important gift to share. And every person's contribution makes the church a stronger and better place and establishes God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I didn't sew on a button, but I really don't sew. I have deep admiration and appreciation for people like Tabitha, who served in the church in a way I never could. So when I read Acts chapter 9, I wonder what Tabitha would have done with a beautiful piece of fabric like this. Do you think she could have turned that into? There, see. Or maybe a piece of fabric like this. What do you think Tabitha might have done with that? Or maybe this. Or this. And by the way, for you seamstresses in the room, you may help yourself to all this beautiful fabric afterwards. I'm pretty picky about clothes. And I really love how well clothes are made. Before I buy a garment, I examine the design, the stitching, and the craftsmanship. I like to think when the women showed Peter all the beautiful garments that Tabitha had made, that they were marveling at the excellent design and stitching and craftsmanship. Look at all the love in these garments that Tabitha had made. Well, in our church, we share prayer shawls with one another. And every time we offer one another a prayer shawl, we are thinking, look at all the love the knitters and crocheters in this congregation invest in these prayer shawls. So in a world where empire literally sucks the life out of us, where selfishness, greed, arrogance, and dominating power are the norms, where gifts are actually hoarded or bartered for profit or used to bolster one's own ego, we in the church caution ourselves. We say if we don't share our gifts, they can easily become supports for our own ego. So through the sharing of our gifts, we literally, actually, breathe life into one another. As Peter prayed life into Tabitha, we breathe life into one another through the gifts we share. We metaphorically raise one another from the dead by the sharing of our gifts. Well, it's really easy to diminish ourselves and think, I just don't have that much to offer. When in fact, the very little bit we offer is of huge significance. We may lose confidence in ourselves and feel like our gifts are no longer useful or important. Maybe time to rekindle our gifts. Start using them again, whenever and wherever we get the chance. When I came out of the closet, I was no longer welcome as a pastor in the world of Baptist fundamentalism. No big surprise, right? But I had loved serving as a pastor in 5 different Baptist churches. But it seemed obvious that I would have to find something else to do with my life. So as I worked a variety of temp jobs and sought to make new connections within the LGBTQ community, something marvelous and unexpected began to happen in me. I actually stopped lamenting that I wasn't a pastor any longer and began to cultivate confidence in the gifts that I've been given and started using those gifts anywhere and everywhere I went. My partner Johnny and I hung out quite frequently at the gay bars, not primarily to drink, but to socialize. Routinely, we'd leave the bar, and Johnny would say to me, "Did you see what happened here tonight? You started a conversation with one guy, introduced him to others, and before long, we were a whole circle of guys laughing and talking and learning one another's names and sharing one another's stories and hugging one another goodbye. You were using your networking gift to build community." I said, "Oh, you're right, of course. My church is now the gay bar." So fast forward 20 years. Here I am serving as a pastor among you, still using my networking gift to bring people together. Because that's one of the gifts I've been given to share with the world. And because one of the gifts you've been given to share with the world is the full inclusion of LGBTQ people. Because the universe has so richly, abundantly blessed us, every one of us has gifts to share with the world. So what's yours? What's at least one gift you have to share in this congregation and in the larger world? So right now I'm going to list quite a few gifts being shared by the members of this church. And as I mention each gift, I'm wondering if a person comes to mind. You may not even know the name of the person, but maybe the face comes to mind. And the person may actually be you. So I'm going to invite you to call to mind silently who in this church shares the gift of skateboarding. Rob, I told you I was going to do this. So I start off with a lighthearted one. Did you know that this guy is a trick skateboarder and has videotapes that will just blow your mind? And I'm still waiting for him to find a way to use skateboarding in the life of this congregation. I can see a whole church event in the parking lot having Brock demonstrate his skateboarding tricks. Brock, please put up your hand. There you are. I warned him ahead of time I was going to do that. So you'd be thinking of someone in the congregation that has this particular gift. Maybe you even want to start writing down names on paper. Knitting and crocheting, quilting and banner making, cuddling and caring for babies, teaching children and teenagers, playing games and making crafts with children, facilitating discussions with adults, welcoming visitors and newcomers, helping worship run smoothly by passing out bulletins, taking the offering, serving communion, setting up and taking down chairs, making and serving coffee and treats, serving as an audiovisual technician, preparing and delivering meals to those in need, catering church functions, baking bread, creating and displaying art, writing and reciting poetry and prose, organizing events, doing the ask or recruiting people to serve, working for peace and justice, letter writing and advocating for political change, supporting our neighbors in their search for housing, employment, transportation, healthcare, childcare, and education, tutoring children and teens, helping people who speak other languages learn English, providing support to those who are ill, homebound, elderly, or differently abled. Donating blood. Cleaning and repairing our building. Gardening. Landscaping. Serving on mission trips. Participating in governance, decision-making, policy-making. Taking notes, documenting our history, keeping records. Seeing that our finances are in order, including counting money, bookkeeping, budgeting, investing, and fundraising. Deepening our prayer life. Making music instrumentally and vocally. Directing choirs and bands. Entertaining us and making us laugh. And where's Palmer Bell when you need him? All of these gifts and so many more are acts of kindness and love. We, like Tabitha, are a people full of good works and charity. So I suspect that many names and faces came to mind as I read that list. But if you thought of even one person, I invite you now to stand and remain standing. And this isn't fair to you who are new to the church or visiting today because you don't know us. But I invite you to stand also because you are sharing your gift today by simply being present and participating with us in worship. This is the church. Imperfect people, staying in the struggle, resisting empire, building an alternative community of trust, of truth, justice, and compassion. For us, our Easter faith and our resurrection life is not the resuscitation of a corpse. But instead, our Easter faith is breathing life into one another, using our gifts faithfully, boldly, and confidently. The risen life of Jesus is this community fully alive using our gifts. The risen life of Jesus is this community fully alive using our gifts. Now, as Vicky uses her wonderful musical gift on the piano, I urge all of us who are willing to just move about freely in the congregation and approach one another and name that gift that that person has in your estimation and simply say, thank you. Thank you, Dan, for your gift for facilitating a delight.